The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in The Huddle right here. 101.3 ESPN. All it accounted for except for Rich. Rich is on vacation. Brady's here. Artie's here. How you doing, big boy handsome, on vacation? Is he not or what?
Well, he's gone, but we got your wife here.
My wife is here. Yeah, she's the third stooge of the three stooges.
So isn't that good enough? I think most GMs would take a trade straight up, Beth, for Rich.
Yeah. Well, we'll certainly do that right now, though I heard she screwed up some of the trivia questions last night. Wait a minute. We'll get into that. First, tell everybody where we are. Tell everybody where we are.
We're broadcasting live today, 4 till 6:30 from Idle Time Brewing Company in Stowe. And I'll tell you what, this place is extremely cool.
It rocks.
It's snowing a little bit outside. I feel like we're in some kind of oil painting here. It's so picturesque out here.
It's snowy. Gee, what a surprise the weather people got it right for once.
The brewing company is awesome. They've got a brewery and a restaurant here. The food is phenomenal. Yep. We're having some of that brought out to us. The beer, I can't wait until 6:31 so I can actually have one here rather than drink on the air. And I've already messaged Jess and said we're coming here to dinner sometime for date night. So I don't care.
I am drinking on the air. And I am watching the Arizona game, which is at halftime, and they're up by two, so I'm very nervous about that.
They're going to make the tournament no matter what.
I will get distracted because I'm really worried, to be honest with you, that they're going to be a number four seed and have to play Vermont in the first round. And I'm trying to avoid that. So
if they did, what would you do?
We'll talk about that later on. I don't like to deal with hypotheticals right now. So I'm watching the game. We'll have something to eat. We got something to drink. If you're in the area, and who knows, even if you're not in the area, you want to come on by, or if you plan on coming down here, this has to be a stop for anybody that's in the coming on down this area.
We just got a full brew tour.
Yes.
I felt like I was in science class. I got so
much opened
smarter.
Up my mouth and just turned the tap on, right?
we got so much knowledge about home brewing and how brewing's actually done. And I was like, all these people go to all this work for me to just drink something in 6 minutes or less. I feel guilty now about not enjoying my beers enough. I'm gonna have to savor them and nurse them along a little bit. I did go down to the brewery.
I'm never gonna have a Busch beer again.
the fermentation process, we saw that, and I actually ate/drank fermented yeast. And I tell you what,
if you could eat beer, I'd really be eating a lot of beer.
I tell you, you look like you've eaten a lot of beer already. So, in 3 weeks, that batch of beer that I ate is going to be ready. I can't wait to have the rest of it.
Well, how long is it going to be ready?
It takes 3 weeks for the brewing process to be completed.
I love it. I feel like we're just, you know, it's a mini brewery, but we got all. He was polishing the, what do they call that thing? I don't even know what
you're
going
to put me on blast here.
Yeah, I don't even know what it is. It took them 4 hours to polish where they make the beer. I mean, it's just, it's awesome. It's a great place here, and it is picturesque. The snow's coming down. People are coming on in. They've got great food here. So we're going to chill here until 6. And then I'm not going to make you go ahead. The kettles is what it's called. Thank you. I'm not going to make you work the full Champlain Valley game night.
So you're going to let me have my beer a half hour earlier than you?
Yeah, I'll let you off at 6:30. I'm a bleeding heart. By the way, you missed basketball last night.
I was at trivia.
I know that.
By the way, it was probably more controversial than basketball.
I want to get to that. I never shot so well in my life.
That's because I wasn't there.
I think I was like 11 of 14 from three-point range for the whole night.
So what, the third-grade team didn't offer good defense?
No, they were even playing defense. I was just chucking it up, and it was going in. I was shooting like 95%. People started to laugh after a while because I just couldn't miss.
Is it true that you at one point stopped the game and said, "Hi, everybody, I'm Arnie. I'm the best shooter."
After I made a game winner. I said, "Let me introduce myself. My name's Arnie. I'm the best shooter on the court." And I just had to say that because I was so on fire.
Let me tell you a little more about Idle Time Brewing Company, by the way. We talked about how great the ambiance is here. The beer is great. The food looks phenomenal. Some of it is coming out as well. And this place is awesome. My dad already gave me his business card because he knows they do live music on Wednesday.
Right.
My dad wants to play here.
What does he play?
He plays the guitar.
Okay.
And sings. So since he's a retired musician now, he just wants to play. Whenever he comes to visit me, he wants to pick up gigs in Vermont.
I wanted to learn how to play the saxophone. I couldn't do it.
That might be the only instrument more obnoxious than your actual
voice. I love the saxophone. Bill Clinton plays the saxophone. You ever see Bill play the saxophone? He's pretty good at that, man. I'm telling you. So
they just brought us out a flight of beer.
Yeah, that's by the time this show's over, we're going to sound a little different than we sound right now, that's for sure.
They've also got after-ski deals, which is called après-ski. I actually thought that après meant appetizer. So I thought the sign said appetizer deals, but it was après-ski, which means after skiing. They brew daily. They're canning soon. They've got pub fare on steroids. That's the thing we're trying. And they've got... like 10 beers in front of us, so
yeah,
maybe we can hit the commercial break a little early.
Yeah, we might have to go ahead and do that. What happened to Trivial last night? My wife screw up the questions again, or
your wife asked highly controversial questions.
I know. I tell her, I try to say, dumb it down, don't be like Brady on Power Play, dumb it down, but she doesn't listen to me, and she asks the worst questions sometimes.
So she had one question that had everybody up in arms. The question was, and you can get in, 802-655-6672 if you have a guess on this one. It's said, what does snow start out as? Basically, what is the earliest form of a snowflake?
Right.
And so people are putting...
I remember her reading this question when she was writing it down.
People are putting water. People are putting all kinds of other... Oh, it's liquid, you know, whatever. The answer that your wife was looking for was a dirt particle.
Yeah, I don't... that doesn't even sound right.
So apparently, in her mind, and the government's mind, because it was on the government website, snow starts out as a dirt particle. But there was an atmospheric chemist in the crowd.
I thought it started out as love. I guess I'm wrong.
There was an atmospheric chemist in the crowd, and he was convinced.
A what?
Atmospheric. He knows all about snow.
That's actually a job.
Yeah. He said the answer is condensation cloud nuclei.
Which is the one I'm looking for. Yeah. That's the answer I was looking for.
So everybody went postal on that one. We had to throw the question out.
Oh,
then your wife got really mad that I threw out her question. We had to ask a different one. What was the Beatles' best-selling album?
Oh, that's easy. That's always the
which one is that?
Sgt. Pepper's.
Yes.
Yeah, that's an easy
one. You got that one.
Well, that's easiest. That's like the trivia 101. If you don't have a question, you go to the Beatles. What's their best-selling album? That's like trivia 101 for crying out loud.
So we had a blast at a spare time in Colchester. We're having a blast now. A couple other housekeeping things to take note of. Here is what's coming up soon. Today, Idle Time Brewing Company, come on out if you're in the area. And if you're not in the area today, put this on your to-do list. To be 40, 45 minutes away from home, from Burlington, you live in Williston, I live in Essex, to be 40, 45 minutes away from home, you feel like you're on vacation just coming down here. So summertime, wintertime, this is a great spot to go. Coming up Thursday, next Thursday, March 15th, we will be off the air. All day long, we're off the air.
Taking the day off.
We're off the air for the NCAA tournament. So we're playing the first round of games on Thursday. We're going to do an all-day viewing party at Spare Time in Colchester. We'll have tons of stuff to give away there. Then Friday, we'll have a different viewing party. So we'll have more on that as we get into next week. But a lot of fun going on. Oh, look at all the fun we have without Rich.
Yeah, and it is starting to snow. I don't think it's snowing up in Burlington. I don't want to let Sean Parker and Torrance Gosher and all those guys
Amanda
off the hook.
Tebow.
Because they said it was going to be some big storm.
We had like 2.5 inches.
Yeah, I mean, come on, guys. What's wrong with you? I think I need to be the guest weather person on TV. I think they should bring me in. And, you know, because they have guest radio hosts, guest TV people. I want to be a guest weather person.
Yeah,
obviously, you know, you need no skill. and I will do that, Brady. What's wrong with that? What skill do you need? Really? What do you need? Come on.
To be a meteorologist is extremely difficult, actually. My college roommate was a meteorology major his first semester.
What a waste.
he failed calculus, so he couldn't be the major anymore.
JT in Burlington says snowing hard in Burlington right now. So,
well, maybe it's snowing hard in Burlington and not in Essex because I got no snow.
All right, lots going on as we're down here in Snow. Brady, tell everybody what's coming up on the show today.
NFL Combine questioning gone astray.
Yes,
we'll get
it
into
did.
That
yes, it did.
In 10 minutes. Big deal, little deal, no deal at 4:35. Very excited about this one. Amanda Pelkey, UVM grad, Montpelier native.
Amanda Pelkey.
And now Olympic champion from Team USA women's hockey team. She will join us at 5 o'clock.
I want her to take shots on my son, who's the goalie.
She'd probably score. Should the Patriots make a big trade to help the defense, that's in the 4-minute football fix. But first, also on the Patriots.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about this last week, but
right.
It may be coming more and more true by the day. Cornerback Aqib Talib, he wants out of Denver, and he wants in Foxborough. So Talib, the Broncos can trade him wherever they want. But Talib is making it clear he prefers to either be released or be traded to New England. Look, I can understand from a football perspective acquiring Aqib Talib, But I just don't think logistically this makes a lot of sense. The money that he's owed, right now it's $11 million next year and $8 million in 2019.
$19 million isn't going to cut it.
So $19 million total. He's been a problem in the locker room. He's been a problem on the field. He's been suspended. He's had problems legally. This is not the kind of guy I want in my culture. But that said, here's the thing I keep coming back to. The Patriots are all in on Tom Brady. They have no backup quarterback. They have no succession plan. If they're going all in to try to win while they've got Brady, they do need to make moves like this, but I don't like Tlaib personal.
I don't like the money he's making. I think that's way far, way too much for somebody like him. And what, he's a cancer. The guy does a lot wrong. You never know when he's going to have something off the field go wrong. And he's had a couple of off-the-field incidences, two that come to mind right off the bat. I'm sure a lot more than that. Also, just not a nice guy to go ahead and be around. And where was the fight? I remember him getting into a fight on the field.
With Michael Crabtree this year.
You know what? I enough of that. That's not what you need when you're coming off a Super Bowl appearance and you're trying to get back there. You don't need a cancer like this guy. And just to piggyback off that for a second, Richard Sherman, this guy can't even get traded because he's coming off that bad injury. I wouldn't.
That's not true.
You think he can get traded?
Oh, because of the injury? He could get traded, but he's got to pass the physical first.
Right
now, he would not pass the physical.
I don't think anybody wants him. And right now, to be honest with you, I don't know if I'm going to touch him, but if the Patriots are going to go after him, he's got to realize we want you for the bargain basement price because you're not worthy of what you were 3-4 years ago. So you've got to get used to that, too.
You can't say that because if Sherman gets traded to New England, you're assuming him and his contract.
Well, I don't think he's going to get traded at all. They're going to cut him.
Then if he gets cut, then he would have willingly signed for whatever they're going to offer him.
No, if he gets caught, then he's a free agent. He can sign with any team he wants.
Right, but I'm saying, so you're saying, okay, we want to give him bargain.
Right.
So if he doesn't want that, then he just won't sign.
That's fine. Oh, if somebody's going to give him more money, so be it. I don't see that. I don't see anybody giving him a fifth-round pick for this guy because of what he's coming off. If that's true, somebody would have, but they don't want to pay the price for what he's making right now. That's why nobody's touching him.
As for Tlaib, again, who wants to be in New England. Now, he succeeded in New England's system for 2 years. Played well here in 2012 and 2013. But between the off-field issues, as you said, he's fought with Steve Smith on Monday Night Football. Michael Crabtree, he's been suspended. I want to say that he pushed a guy in the face. He's just not the kind of character guy that we've grown accustomed to with New England.
And you got to use that money for other stuff.
Yeah, that's what you said, too. Or that's what I'm saying also. The Patriots have 51 players under contract right now.
Okay.
They have $24 million in free cap space for next season.
For how many players?
Right now they have $24 million in cap space. If you give Tlaib $11 million, you're looking at only $13 million left. And what
for
about
eight players after that, or what?
For just the players that you want to sign.
You're talking about the 60 that's going to be on the roster, right?
Yeah, so you've got. So then, remember, and you need money. Nate Solder, no guarantee to come back. We read that today.
What's his face, the receiver? What's his name? I mean, you haven't signed him yet either.
Amendola.
Amendola, yeah.
Deion Lewis, it doesn't look like
he's not. I told you that from the very start.
I told you that from the start.
I told you before the season started that this running back thing isn't going to work, but go ahead.
But that is not what you and I are. Yeah. You and I are so on different wavelengths with this. Multiple running backs works, and it works for New England, and it worked for the Eagles, and they won the Super Bowl with it. What's not going to work is Deion Lewis' frustration and the contract that he wants.
Well, he's gone. I'm done with him.
Yeah, but
anyway.
It's not because. But see, you can't say it's because the multi-running back thing doesn't work. He's not leaving because of that.
I don't want him because, one, I don't think he's worthy of the money that he's going to ask.
And that's fine.
Two, I don't think he's a premier back to carry the load. Three, if I'm going to use different feature backs, I don't need him either, to be honest with you. I'll go with the youngsters. And four, there's plenty in the draft. So goodbye, Mr. Lewis.
And that is 100% fine, but that is a very different conversation than, five running backs, you got none.
That's true.
Very, very different. Look, Rex Burkhead is somebody who I think maybe they could try to bring back on a bargain basement deal, a guy who was hurt most of last season, had the opportunity. You know, when he had the opportunity, he played well. I think they could try to bring him back. But not a fan of Tlaib, although I do understand you have a big-time urgency to try to win now. If you're going to try, you have to extract every ounce of winning that you can from the Tom Brady era here in Foxborough, because once he leaves, you have no succession plan in place. So I almost feel like you do have to make uncharacteristic risks to stay, not only stay competitive, but to win while Brady's here.
Jake in St. Albans on the Tom Fair Tire text line is a huge Bronco fan and a guy with a Tlaib jersey. If he goes back to New England, I'm burning his jersey.
Why would Jake get a Tlaib jersey? Aren't there other... Where's the no Sean Moreno jersey?
Yeah, out of all the jerseys you can get for the Broncos, why would that one? Especially because you know he wouldn't be on the team for how long. You know any year he could be gone for whatever reason. Why would you go ahead and get that one, for crying out
Where's
loud?
Where's the Von Miller jersey?
Yeah, at least because you know he's going to be on the team forever.
At least
forever.
He doesn't have a Brock Osweiler jersey. Yeah.
You know what? I'd rather wear a John Elway jersey, just knowing that he's going to stick around longer than some of the other people. If you want to get in the Tom Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. But back to Tlaib, I'm not giving him his money. I'm not bringing him in. And besides, even if he said he was going to come in for a million a year, I still wouldn't take a Brady, because I never know when he's going to be a cancer to everybody else around. And I know he had pretty harmless years here. I don't think he got any trouble here in New England. But otherwise, I'm not touching this guy. I'm not getting near him.
The other big Patriots story of the day is the report we read earlier that Nate Solder, the left tackle, is no slam dunk to be back in Foxborough. I am surprised by that.
Is anybody coming back? Jeez.
I am surprised by that. Now, Solder has the opportunity to make a lot of money. Left tackle is a premier position. There's a lot of teams with a lot of cap space, and there's not a ton of marquee free agents on the offensive line. He could make more money. But for the opportunity to win, and Nate Solder's son has cancer. Now, I am no doctor. I am no anything. I'm not even a parent. But I would think that it would, you know, that he would like his, number one, to be around his son in the same environment that they've always been. Number two, keep his son in his comfort zone. And three, keep him near the doctors that he's been seeing already.
Right.
Now, I would think that those motivating factors would trend him towards New England again. And it doesn't mean that that won't end up being the case, but I was surprised to hear that he wasn't a slam dunk. Now, that said, the Patriots should not use what I just said against him.
I was just about to ask you. Yeah, that's the last thing. If the Patriots do something like that, I've got a problem. What they should do is just say, you know what, we don't want you. We don't want to lowball you. We know you get more money somewhere else, so we're going to allow that. And if he comes back and said, you know what, I'll listen to a lowball offer for the reasons that you just gave, I could certainly understand that. Then I can go with that. But if they want to do that, just let him go and get more money from somebody else.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, a fair way of handling it. The Patriots know that he's been really good for them when healthy. He's been really, really productive. And I would hate to see them lowball him based on the circumstances that he and his family are in. I'd like to think that the Patriots wouldn't do that. But I guess when you say it's a business, I put nothing past anybody in professional sports. But I think you're right on the way it should be handled.
All right. We got big deal, little deal, no deal coming up later on this hour. We got the 4-minute football fix. We got Amanda Palke coming on by a little bit later on also. So lots happening. Tell everybody where we are, Brady, and what's going on here.
We're out at Idle Time Brewing Company in Stowe. This is a great spot. If you want to come down for the day, you want to come over here and take an overnight trip somewhere, this is a great spot to be. As I said, I've already told Jess we're coming here for date night sometime. And so I said, hey, we're coming here. This place is awesome.
It is awesome.
She's bringing some of her coworkers out
today. Yeah.
She works around here. And Idle Time Beer is distributed locally in Burlington at various restaurants. And we'll give you some of those here as we move through the day.
All right. What's coming up next segment?
The NFL Combine. Questioning gone astray.
Yeah, I got some serious thoughts on this, man. Some serious problems with what was asked today. Wait till you hear. If you didn't hear this story, wait till you hear what they said to some of the recruits, I guess, that came on out. So that's coming up next. You are in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The huddle is back. I'm sure you missed us. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. We are live in Stowe. Brady, you're just chowing down, man.
No, I'm good.
Slow down, for crying out loud.
I'm having fritters.
The fritters are unbelievable. They're unbelievable.
Chicken wings. I'm having chili cheese fries. And they brought 10 beers over here of the flight variety.
Real quick answer this one from, we're getting a lot on the Town Fair Tire text line. I just lost the one before Joe and Ty Conderoga. Did you see that one about
Joe and Ticonderoga?
No, before that one. Read the one before Joe. There's like...
Okay. Henry and Fletcher.
Yeah.
If the Patriots are all in for right now, then why not go with Le'Veon Bell? I agree with Arnie about Aqib Talib. Well, number one, Le'Veon Bell is, he's been offered a franchise tag by the Steelers. He is currently still Steelers property.
Yeah, and look, you saw what he did last year when the Steelers decided to franchise tag him. So he taught him a lesson, didn't come into training camp, didn't come into the preseason.
He did not do training camp.
Or any of the preseason games. And did he miss the first game? I don't even know if he missed the first game. He said he's going to do the same thing. He's going to miss all of training camp and then miss all of the preseason and come in. Now, maybe that's a benefit. I don't know. But it's like the whole attitude is what's bothering
me. Well, so the Patriots couldn't even entertain an idea for Le'Veon Bell until he signed his franchise tender with the Steelers. Because right now he is Steelers property, but he is not under contract. So if he signs the franchise tag, then he'll be under contract. And then at that point, he's free to be traded and teams are free to pursue him. But right now, it's not even worth entertaining the idea until he's actually signed that tender, which is what we saw with Jarvis Landry in Miami. That's why now they're looking to trade Jarvis Landry.
Because he's got the tender.
Because he signed the franchise.
All right, what happened at the NFL Combine over the weekend, which has a lot of people absolutely furious once again because of the stupidity by some of these NFL teams?
Arnie, you're the college football guy, so you might be able to pronounce his name better than I.
Geis.
But LSU running back Darius Geis was asked by one team, he was asked, one, if he liked men, you know, sexually, and two, was asked if his mother was a prostitute.
Right.
So those were two of the questions that Darius Geis received at the NFL Combine from teams.
And by the way, if you want to comment on that on the Town Fair Tire, text line 802-655-6672. Both inappropriate. The first one, though, is your mom a prostitute. I understand what they're trying to do, see how he's going to react. Is he going to lose his marbles, maybe get a 15-yard penalty? But the NFL said you can't do that. The NFL said you can't ask that question because they fined the Miami Dolphins for asking Dez Bryant the same question, and they got in trouble for that. So why you would ask the same exact question after the Dolphins got fined for that is beyond belief. They said, don't ask that question. You did. And I'm sorry. I know you want to get, there's only 32 jobs available. But if somebody asked that to me, I'd say, well, of course you know who he is. You're her John. I'd be a smart ass. I mean, I don't know how else to take it. If someone says, oh, they have the right to ask that question, they want to simulate to see if you're going to get mad. Well, why don't you just throw a beer in my face then? Because, you know, you saw that happen when you were at the game at Jacksonville against Seattle. Throw a beer in my face then and spit in my face and call me a derogatory name then and see how I'm going to react. I think it's stupid when you do stuff like this.
It's completely inappropriate. That's on the second question. The first question was, are you into men sexually? That has also been outlawed by the NFL. Eli Apple was asked this question. Giants defensive back was asked this question back in 2016, and we know who that was. We know it was the Atlanta Falcons. This team has not been reported yet as to who it is. The NFL outlawed that question as well.
I have an answer for that one, too, by the way, too. That make him, I go, wow, I didn't know you guys were the ones that were anti-gay. Wow. And they say, no, we're just asking. And I said, no, I'm not saying you are. You just, the one that asked me the question, you look like you're anti-gay. So I just want to say that. I'd get him so frustrated, I'd see if he'd want to lunge across the table and hit me.
And see how he reacts.
And see how he reacts, to be honest. But I know that's not going to get me a job on that team, though.
The questions are inappropriate. They're been outlawed by the NFL, and as a result, I think whoever asked this question should be put on some kind of suspension.
Should be fired.
Yeah, okay.
Because we already fined the Miami Dolphins for doing it. If you're so stupid to not realize, you can't ask that question. And don't tell me the NFL fined the Dolphins without putting out a memo saying, don't ask stupid questions like that. And by the way, those are highly illegal. If you ever applied for any job in the real world, those are two questions you wouldn't ever bring up in the real world.
So should the NFL overwrite the team and say, this guy's out? Or should they go, does the team have to decide on their own? Look, no punishment, suspension without pay, or he's fired. Should it fall on the league or should it fall on the team? I do think the league should step in here and mandate some kind of punishment.
I think it should be both. I think the league should step in and say, look what you guys did. You screwed up. You better give yourself a self-imposed punishment, and if we don't like it, we're going to tack on a few extra $100,000. So you guys are morons for asking stupid questions like that. I really don't see the benefit of asking something like that. If you really wanted to just get somebody mad at you, there's other ways to do that if you want to see how they react. You know what I'm really waiting for? I'm waiting for someone to do something and push it even more than that. Say, oh, by the way, when you came in here, we just got a message that your mom died. and see how he reacts, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, are we going to go and push it to that? Do you want to go and take it to that extreme, Brady? I mean, you're giving these guys $40, $50, $60 million. Why not do that then?
I don't know how the league would legislate this outside of actually being in the interview room with every team. And maybe that's how it should become, where the league has an official sitting in there during every interview. But I could, for line of questioning like this, for things that we've already outlawed, I could see a loss of draft pick. A loss of one draft. Like, if we're going to take away a draft pick for deflated footballs, then we should be able to take away a sixth or seventh round pick for doing something that we've already outlawed in the league.
What I don't understand is, why isn't it illegal? It's illegal in all the other workplaces. If I wanted to interview as a CPA, as a librarian, as an electrician, if anybody asked me that, I would sue, and I would win in about an hour. I don't understand.
I think the answer probably stems from the fact that you are going to hear things like that potentially on the field.
So what?
In the workplace.
So I can say that you may hear the same thing in the workplace. I'd say then clean it up.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if you want to see how I want to react and you want to push it to the limit, I'll just sit there. I mean, if I was smoking a cigarette, I'd blow smoke in their face for saying that. But I think it's so highly inappropriate. And really, is that what's going on? Is that what's being said at the games, Brady? Is that what the fans are yelling? Hey, your mom's a prostitute. Hey, are you gay? Is that what's being yelled from the fans? Because I really don't believe that's what's going on in most games out there, to be honest.
Some of the players, I imagine, are saying certain things that are nasty. Some of the fans are certainly saying some things that are nasty. I have to imagine a lot of the times though the players can't hear the fans. But I do think that the coaches who ask these questions at the very least should be suspended. And therefore, if they're suspended and not available to the team, then they're no good to the team. So the team will probably end up firing them anyways. And I could see a loss of draft pick factoring in here as well. They're completely inappropriate and they're completely out of bounds.
The one that said are you attracted to men, I want to know what kind of answer, if I would have said yes and if I would have said no, what he would have thought about
my
answer.
Use it as a sociological
experiment. I don't know. I just want to know, all right, if I say yes and I say no, what is your reaction to me giving those answers? Because I don't like the way, you know, I just don't like the way it's addressed. By the way, Clayton and Shelburne said, first time I've ever agreed with Arnie. D-Mac in Essex said, mandated recording of the meetings. That could be something that, I don't know why we haven't done that to begin with.
Yeah,
anyway.
That's what I was saying. Potentially have a league official in there, but if you want
to... No, we're recorded. Record it, yeah.
Record it also, and that would be fine with me also. I think loss of draft pick is fair, especially, you know, the lower end of the draft pick spectrum, but we know how valuable now 5th through 7th round picks have become in the NFL, even undrafted free agents. I think you could change a lot of this by taking a punishment to that extreme. I think you could also get rid of a lot of this by having your coaches
now
be fired.
Let me ask you this. Suppose they said, we know that your mother and father are alcoholics. Are you going to be an alcoholic? Is that fair? Because they say, you know, sometimes that is passed along. Is that a fair question?
Man.
Or if they say your father was in prison, your brother was in prison, how do we know you're not, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. How do we know that you're not next in line for prison?
I understand that when you do a background check, you're oftentimes doing a background check, not just on the player, but on his family and the circumstances that he comes from and the circumstances that are brought in as well. I have much more of a problem with the question about his sexual orientation than I do with the question about his mother, although I find them both out of bounds. I just find the one about the sexual orientation to be more egregious. To your point, I think things that are hereditary, I think those are fair game.
Would that ever stop you from drafting a player if something their parents did? I'll just bring up LeVar Ball. You know what? You wouldn't take Lonzo because of LeVar, and all he's doing is running his mouth. I mean, can you imagine if he was in prison or he was an alcoholic and you said Lonzo's going to be like that? All he's doing is running his mouth. Well, that's not even that big of a deal.
I think if I'm a businessman, if I'm a hirer or an interviewer, I think that I like to think I could be, you know, looking at the interviewee more independent than, you know, independent of his family or independent of his upbringing. I do think that athlete's going to have a harder time proving to me that he's not, you know, in the same circumstances as those people around him. But I do think that, yes, it's absolutely possible, you know, it's absolutely possible for somebody to be, you know, to somebody to get out of those situations and not end up in those ways.
First time texter, I can tell this guy's an attorney. Sexual orientation is not a protected class federally in 29 states. It's not illegal to ask someone is if they're gay or to make an employment decision based on sexual orientation. That must have been the attorney that's listening to the show on that one.
But is that, does it work that way, though?
I don't think so. I'm shocked that you would even write that in. I'm shocked that.
Does it work that way? I mean, look, there's a lot of things you can or can't do in certain states that you can or can't do at work. You can smoke marijuana illegally in Washington and Colorado, but you can't do it in the NFL just because you play for the Broncos or the Seahawks.
Right.
So, yes, I think in public companies, you're probably working with those rules, but is the NFL a company that works the same way?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a good question. It'd be interesting to see how that will play out. And if they're going to get in trouble, if the team is going to get outed, the player isn't going to out them. But we did find out from Dez Bryant that it was the Dolphins. I'm wondering if this guy is going to go, Geis is going to go ahead and out them. We're getting a lot on the Tom Fair Tire text line. So your thoughts, if you want to get in, 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. And by the way, if I heard it was the Patriots, I'd really be upset. Asking questions like that. I think it's absolutely crazy. What does Alex in Williston send on in? Because he was talking about Will Cain, who's on before us.
Will Cain brought up a good point about the sexual orientation question. No condoning the question. Could it be to see the people's reaction if they become offended or derogatory towards homosexuals? It would certainly be a red flag. And I mean, look, now we're getting into another gray area.
Well, no, then you don't have to say, are you attracted to guys, you would just say, what are your thoughts on homosexuality, would you not? I mean, really, do you have to, or is it the way you ask the question, you know what I'm saying?
I think you could probably take it both ways. I think there's probably merit in what Alex says and merit in what you're saying. And here's what I know about the NFL. The NFL is pushing inclusion. The NFL is pushing tolerance. The NFL is pushing, but the NFL is also pushing everyone having their own voice. I think as long as people are not outspoken about certain things, that I think the NFL the NFL allows you to feel how you want to feel, just as long as you're not doing anything to damage the integrity of the league.
You know, Alex and Wilson said, Will Cain said, you know, so they could see our reaction to our game. How do you know they're not going to use that information against you? How do you know they're not bigots or whatever? Or they just don't want, maybe they're saying, hey, don't take him, he's gay. We don't want that type on our team. How do you know they're not using that against you?
You don't. You don't.
That's the part that bothers me. So lots of the tough.
I do think the NFL should get in the habit or get in the, you know, law or have the in the bylaws about having a league official in there or taping the interviews.
So absolutely. It's going to have to get to that point now.
And I think there should be a punishment for this coaching staff when we find out.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. 802-655-6672. By the way, do you write down your own questions or do they say, here's a list of questions. I just go down the list. Here, Brady, you asked the one about if his mother's a prostitute. I'd say, you asked that question.
I think you write down. I think these guys do a whole lot of research, and I think they have player-specific questions for every player.
Unbelievable. All right. What's up with Danny Amendola? What's the latest on him?
What's up? We got to go to break.
Oh, you want to get to that real quick? Because I know we got a big deal, little deal, though.
Let's save it if we have to.
We'll save that. We'll talk more about Danny Amendola later because coming up next, big deal, little deal, and no deal. Tell everybody where we are, Brady.
Live at Idle Time Brewing Company in Stowe. Come on, hang out. We're here till 6:30. Then we got Bruins hockey. Great place to be. Look, we're only 45 minutes south of where we're located in the Burlington, Essex, Williston area. Some of you are even closer. This is a spot you want to get down to. If it's not tonight, it's this summer where they got live music. They got the fire pit out back. This is a great place to bring a date and feel like you're on vacation even when you're not that far from home.
Big deal, little deal, no deal. Coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back to the huddle. It's time for our newest feature.
Maybe this one will sweep the nation also.
It's time for Big Deal.
Rich, you guys are missing the point. This is a huge deal.
Little deal.
Oh, please, Arnie. This is nothing.
Or no deal.
You guys are both wrong. It's in the middle. How am I even still listening to you?
On 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. In that four-minute break, I got to be a professional eater. I had four wings. I had some fries. I had some those critter things that I just love. I had two of those.
Cheese fritters.
And I just ate all of that in like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And I had time left over, too. I'm very good at this.
I had a flight of beer.
Yes, and you're very good at that, drinking that in a short amount of time, no doubt about that. You're making a mess over there. You got stuff all over the plate.
Fermented yeast, that was great. My beer is phenomenal as well. Your wife is coming over to me.
Yes, she's serving us.
She's serving us food.
Which is great. Which is awesome.
Which beer do I want now, she goes.
Yes. You got it going good
there,
Brady.
I will take the Bohemia Pilsner.
Yes.
That's what I will take.
Tell everybody where we are, Brady.
We're at Idle Time Brewing Company here in Stowe, so come on, hang out if you're in the area. If you're not in the area, put it on your to-do list.
All right. Now it's time for Big Deal, Little Deal, or No Deal. Big deal, little deal,
he
or no
it.
Deal.
He got it. Don't be so tough on it.
Big deal, little deal, or no deal.
All right, question number one, big deal, little deal, no deal. Mookie Betts is now 1-for-19 in spring training, and, well, that one hit just finally came today. So Mookie Betts was at one point 0-for-16. Is that a big deal, little deal, or no deal?
Can I say zero deal? Is that part of the thing there? First of all, was he even using the bat the proper way? He might have been having it reversed. It makes no difference whatsoever. He's trying things out different. It's spring training. If this was the start of the season and he was 1-for-19, I'd be going ballistic. But this has no zero effect on how he'll start the year. Hopefully he won't even come close to starting 1-for-19, but... yeah, I'm going to say no deal on this one.
I'll go little deal because you like to get confidence in the spring. Does it matter if you hit 400 or 200? No, not necessarily. But it does matter if you're hitting 053. You like to have confidence. This is a new manager. You've got new protection in the lineup. You're going to be back in the leadoff spot. You're there now. You've got comfort. You've got rhythm. You'd like to start out. You'd like to have some confidence in the spring. So I'll go with a little deal just because for a guy who had a down year last year by his standards, only hitting in the 260s, he wanted to get out to a better start. So let's hope he finishes the second half of spring better than this first half.
Okay. All right. What's the next one?
Question number two, Yankees star Aaron Judge says he's one and done with the home run derby. Is that a big deal, little deal, or no deal?
I saw this. It is a big deal. I mean, he's the face of baseball, is he not?
It's going to be Ohtani.
It better not be Ohtani. But anyway, he's the face of baseball right now. He's the big name of baseball. People want to see him in the home run contest. Matter of fact, people want to see him and Stanton, you know, because of them being teammates. So it's still not that big of a deal, but it's just a home run derby. It's not like
it. So it's a big deal that's not that big of a deal?
No, it's a big deal that he's not going to participate because he's the face of baseball. But in the scheme of things, because of the season, it's not that big of a deal, but you don't want him to go ahead and lose his swing. That's what I'm worried about, him hurting his swing. Is that why he's doing it, too? Is because of his swing?
He
or
got
what?
Hurt last year.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people say when they're done doing the home run contest, their swing is all messed up. You know what I mean? Or they can't get that next home run. I think it's only a big deal because he's the face of baseball. But I'm going to say little deal because it's just a home run contest. So who really does care?
I'm saying big deal because it's a big marketing opportunity for baseball. You're right to see him and his teammate Stanton together would be a huge thing for baseball. But more so, this what he had to say about the home run derby, basically implying that the derby is what caused his shoulder injury, that he caused him to get surgery this offseason. So therefore, if the derby has caused him injury,
yeah,
then that's a big deal for him. It's a big deal for the Yankees. And it could be a big deal for other players that don't want to risk injury. If now we think that that is a fact, you know, that's a byproduct, potentially, of being in the derby. Question number three, Danny Ainge said today that Kyrie Irving's knee condition and injury is something he may need to play an entire career through. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
I don't know where Danny Ainge got his medical degree from. Why? Why? We can't fix this knee injury. We can fix just about anything that anybody has, but all of a sudden Kyrie Irving has an injury that can't be fixed. Look, if this is true, it's a big deal. It's a humongous deal. I mean, to say that you've got a problem with your knee from now until your playing days are over is a major concern. It may go ahead and cut his career short. It may cut his productivity short when he gets toward the end of his career. So he may start missing more and more games. As we noticed, he was missing the Brooklyn game and games against other slouches out there. This is a humongous deal on this.
This is absolutely a big deal. He's got 2 years left on his contract. It might as well be one, though, because he's got a player opt-out. You want to sign him to a long-term deal, but now do you know that you're going to have him for the life of whatever long-term deal you sign him through? He's the most important piece of your franchise right now. You are in a situation where you have enough youth and draft picks acquired where you can win now and win later. And if you don't have a healthy Kyrie Irving for the life of his contract, then eventually it starts becoming an albatross like we've talked about other players in other sports. I don't think it's at that point yet, but if it bears watching, if Kyrie Irving needs surgery in the offseason, how does that impact things? If he doesn't get surgery in the offseason, how does that impact things? I think this is a big deal, and we'll talk about it on Champlain Valley Game Night with Kurt Heelan today of Pro Basketball Talk. Question number four.
Yeah.
Speaking of basketball, speaking of knee injuries, and speaking of the Celtics, Derrick Rose is signing with the Timberwolves for the rest of the year, and they play the Celtics tonight. So D. Rose to the T-Wolves, big deal, little deal, no
Who's
deal.
Derrick Rose?
He used to be the MVP.
Gosh.
He used to be the MVP.
Wow, I didn't know that. Derrick Rose used to be an MVP. Oh, that's unbelievable. Look. If they get him on the bare bones minimum and he doesn't go ahead and affect the team's chemistry, why not do it? I mean, I can certainly see you getting another guy for the playoff run and stuff like that. So I'm okay. I don't think he's a cancer or anything like that. To the most part, he just wanted to get healthy. Never really got back after some of those injuries. So, look, I'm okay with it. I think it's a little deal, but he's got to go ahead and sign for the bare bones minimum.
I'll go little deal as well. This is a Timberwolves team that's missing Jimmy Butler for a little while here with that knee injury that he suffered a few weeks back. It's good potentially because he gets to reunite with Tom Thibodeau, who he had so much success with in Chicago when he was an MVP caliber player. Derrick Rose has not fulfilled what his career could have been. He's still not a very good outside shooter, and when you lose that athleticism, you need something to fall back on, and he just doesn't have it. He's also had legal issues, the sexual assault allegations that he had going into last season, going AWOL with the New York Knicks. He has had a number of things happen since he was the D. Rose of old. I'll say little deal. There's a chance that if Butler's hurt, he can continue to help solidify the Timberwolves, who are in sixth place right now in the Western Conference. There's a chance that playing with Thibodeau can revitalize him a little bit. I just don't think there's a lot left for Derrick Rose, even though he's still well under 30. Question number five.
Yeah.
The 1987 Washington Redskins replacement players, who played three games for the team, are getting Super Bowl rings from Dan Snyder. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
Humongous deal. I love this. I think this is fantastic. I really do. I think it's great. As for part of the check, too. Shouldn't they get a check?
They
did get the check?
Yeah.
All right, that's awesome. I had never really quite understood why they weren't. Of course, I know about the whole scab thing and stuff like that. A little small point here. My freshman year, I went to the University of Southern Colorado, right?
USC,
I told everybody. We had a guy on our team who played football at USC, Southern Colorado. He was working at a furniture store when the replacement players started coming up. The Giants called him up. He was enough experience. He became the defensive captain for the Giants for those three games. He had the most experience on the team. But, yeah, I think it's great that they're going to go and get their rings. I think it's really fun, and I'm glad they are.
I'll say it's a big deal as well because they were part of that history of the Redskins. They were part of that Super Bowl team. I think they deserve to be recognized. But I saw this also. Like, remember Brandon Stokely?
Yeah, their wide receiver.
He was a wide receiver for the Broncos and the Colts and the Ravens and the Giants. Well, Brandon Stokley, who we've had on,
right?
He played two games with the Giants in the Super Bowl season. He didn't get a ring. So should everybody who was part of the team for at least one game get a ring? I mean, how do you decipher guy who was on the team for half the season and got cut? Guy who was on the team for half the season and got traded? Do they all get rings?
It's
a good question. I agree with you. I think these guys should get rings, but what about every
baseball,
player that's just come through?
Baseball, when it comes to money, don't they vote quarter share, full share, three-quarter share, or like half a share?
I don't know.
Like,
and the team can choose whether guys get, were integral enough to get a ring.
I think if you're on the team, you should get a ring only because Nancy in accounting gets a ring, and the secretary gets a ring, and like front office people get a ring. If you're going to give and I know they get different rings, but if you're going to give them, the people in the administrative offices a ring, you can certainly give a player who was on the team a ring also. I'm for that.
But every player, you talk about football, every player that's come through the active roster in a season, there's got to be 70 of them plus.
If you were on the active roster, then you should get a ring, even if it's for one game.
Well, I think this is cool. I think it's cool of Dan Snyder to do it. Dan Snyder needs all the good PR that he can get when he goes through the, he gets taken through the ringer on the Redskins' name.
What would you do if you were like Barishaw? Remember him?
He played for both.
Yeah, he played for both, but he was on the losing side of the championship. But he was on Golden State. Was it Golden State or Cleveland that won it that year?
I think he was on the team the year that Cleveland. Golden State won
it. Well, but what do you do with that ring? You lost to them, but you were on that team. Does that ring have any meaning for you or no?
No. No.
But you certainly deserve it.
Still deserve it.
I mean, you're one of the reasons why. What do we got coming up next, Brady?
We're talking to the man behind the scenes here at Idle Time Brewing Company, the Brewmaster, sitting down with us next.
That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
to the Huddle, where you can give us your take at 802-655-6672. Providing Arnie shuts up long enough to let you get a sentence in. 1013 ESPN.
All right, welcome back. You're in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Brady, tell me where we are and who do you have as our next guest?
We're at Idle Time Brewing Company down here in Stowe, just a 45-minute drive or so from where we're based.
Yes.
Up in the Burlington area. We're sitting down with the brewmaster, Will, who gave us a dissertation on home brewing earlier.
So, Will, I just wanted to pop open the tap and drink everything right there.
Will, thanks for being with us, man.
Thanks, Will.
Well, not home brewing. Actually, it's professional brewing.
Professional
brewing.
Yes.
I've been a professional brewer for 20 years.
Wow. So I've already made
and,
it.
Let me just say hello to the pub real quick. Hello,
yeah.
Pub.
Woo! Yeah.
Well, if they're not outside enjoying the nice fire pit and getting some fresh air, they're in here in the pub eating some great food. You guys
have... Oh, we were chowing down. I think I ate like every appetizer in a 4-minute break, so I'm ready to go to professional eating. Was this something you've done professionally for 20 years ago,
yes.
Or did you just
yes.
kind of get in, just kind of like a hobby to start things off?
Well, it started as a hobby, yeah. But, you know, I found the fountain of youth, and it's beer brewing.
So, Arnie, you mentioned the great food. I actually ate a bunch also and then asked for more. So
yes.
The pretzels are coming
nice.
Out.
Nice. There you go,
so,
big boy.
Tell us about your operation down here, because what's impressed us so much is that we're only 45 minutes away from home right now, and it feels like... You know, this is the perfect spot. It feels like you're on vacation when really we could come down here in the day. I already texted my girlfriend and said we're coming here for date night one night. What makes your place so special?
Well, there's a lot of things going on here in Stowe and lots of stuff going on in Idle Time. There's three great breweries in town, and we are a small brew pub that basically we self-distribute our beer and we sell as much everything else we sell right here. We make about... 8.5 barrels when we brew, so we're fairly small, and we've got a lot of great food. And everybody's always asking me and saying they want to be a brewer, but after listening to you guys talking sports and eating food,
we've got a good life.
You've
too.
Got it made.
Now, your beer is distributed up in the Burlington area
yeah.
in a lot of restaurants and stores. Where can we find your beer locally?
You know, the big hitters are most of the package stores that specialize in craft beer, you know, from Waterbury to Waitsfield, and then over into the Burlington area and Winooski Beverage Warehouse. You'll find
yeah.
us there.
Right down the road from our station. I know where I'm going tomorrow.
Yep, you'll find our beer there. We can, for the first time 2 weeks ago, two of our most popular beers are Idle Time Double IPA, went into cans, 16-ounce cans, four
nice.
Packs. And our Zog's Pale Ale for the first time. So people are excited about it.
How long are things in development for? Like when you say, I want to make a new beer, how long do you have to go ahead and mix and match and try things out before it can go ahead and you want to serve it to the customers?
Oh, gosh. We go right into it.
Oh, nice.
We have an idea of what we want. And usually we're pretty close to our target when we start. And then it's kind of like tuning a guitar string. You want to just, you know, you're close to what your target is and you just make small adjustments to get to where you really love it.
Yeah, nice,
exactly.
Nice.
So since the Winooski Beverage Center or Beverage Warehouse is pretty much right by our station, it's right by a lot of our listeners.
You could ride a skateboard there.
Yeah. What's the most popular beer that you have? What's the beer that's the best selling? Which one should we try when I go in there next?
Well, one of the
because tomorrow's Friday, so I think I'm going.
Yeah, one of the exciting things about being in a brew pub setting is we've got 10 different beers on tap. Three different yeast strains that we have, which makes the beers taste different. The most popular beers out there, of course, are the IPAs and the double IPAs that people love, the big hoppy aromas we get from the what I call the sexy hops that are out there. And, you know, we make lots of lagers and a lot of other beers that that really... are really great for a really big audience. So we have people come from all over the world in Stowe. Stowe's like it's a little different world at times. And we have something on tap for everybody.
Well, we'll get you out of here on this question then, because we've been doing the Winter Craft Beer Tour. We've been in a lot
yes,
of different places.
Absolutely.
We've got more coming up. How competitive is the craft brewing field now, and what separates you from the rest?
It's definitely very competitive. You know, there's only so much shelf space. There's a lot of small brewers and a lot of buzz that's going on out there. It's a really exciting time for us because there are so many breweries. So, you know, we just ask you to embrace your local brewery. There's a lot of great beers out there, and support local Vermont businesses.
I'll never have a Busch Light again. Yeah. Look at his face on that.
Well, maybe if you run out of other beer. Thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, give him some applause.
Love that.
Thanks a lot for having us out here. We appreciate it. Brady's going to come back with a Sports Center update. We'll get you ready for hour number two, and we'll get you ready for Amanda Palke, also, that's going to join us. So we got a lot to get to right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Only full-time FM sports station in Vermont, WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh, 101.3 ESPN. The commercials are over, and the guys are back. The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Of course, Rich is on vacation. We should mention that a couple of times. Rich has gone to Tahoe, Reno, right now. His way to Phoenix, enjoying the good life over there on the West Coast. So I wonder what it's always like to have some of our listeners that have never been to the West Coast to take them over there, Brady. It'd be culture shock for some of these Vermonters.
I love the West Coast. Grew up in Seattle.
I hate the West Coast.
Oh, stop. You're always talking about Phoenix and L.A.
Well, Phoenix because I like to go and drive around in a golf cart in the nice weather. But for other than that, West Coast sucks.
I love the West Coast. I love Burlington, too. So I'm an equal opportunity lover of shorelines.
All right. Tell everybody where we are and who is coming up next.
Idle Time Brewing Company in Stowe. We have had a ton of fun here today. The food is unbelievable.
Great.
And they're treating us like kings.
I
don't know what we did to deserve the first-class treatment, but we've got it, and it's a great spot to be. It's been a lot of fun all day, and we're looking forward to more stops on the 101.3 ESPN Craft Brew Tour. But today, we're not going to rush this day away because we've had so much fun. As for who's coming up next, how about this? Amanda Palke, UVM graduate. She's on the phone line with us now, Aaron's telling me. So Amanda Palke about to join us on the TikTok Jewelers guest line. And when we intro her usually, Arnie, we come on and say, Amanda Palke is a Montpelier, Vermont native. She's a UVM graduate. She is the all-time leading scorer in UVM women's hockey history. But now we add one thing to that. Olympic champion. Amanda Palke, Olympic champion. Sounds pretty good. Amanda, thanks for being with us. How are you?
Hi, Brady. I'm great. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great. That it has a pretty good ring to it to hear Olympic champion. It's pretty crazy, pretty surreal still at this moment.
Well, we appreciate you joining us. I know we're no Ellen or Jimmy Fallon, but we appreciate you making time. What's the last 2 weeks been like for you?
Oh my gosh, it's been insane in probably the best way possible. I think, you know, my teammates and I don't think we could have ever imagined, you know, a better celebration and a better tour and a better homecoming than we've had. After competition, we had about 4 days of free time in South Korea where we didn't leave for a few days after, so we had time to go to other events and really soak in the whole Olympic experience. And then, I mean, our media tour was absolutely crazy. I can't believe I still have to write down everything that we've done and all the people that we've met. It was incredible. We started, you know, we went to LA, literally hopped off the plane, went straight to the Ellen show. That was our first appearance. And then since then, we've literally been going the whole alphabet, point A to point Z, and doing absolutely everything possible and anything you could imagine. We ended the tour in New York City where we did a lot of stuff. That's where we crammed in a lot of our time. We were going from 8 a.m. till 10:30 at night on the bus all day, stopping at different companies, talk shows, interviews, all the way to NHL headquarters, a whole bunch of stuff. The list is very long.
Well, you talk about coming home. I know that you are en route home right now, and you've got a parade through the streets of Montpelier tomorrow, your hometown. Of all the things that you've done already, how meaningful is it going to be for you to return back home to Vermont tomorrow and share this with your hometown?
It's going to be huge. Our team kept saying in interviews all this past week that, you know, what we're going to do with our gold medal is, I think the best part about it is bringing it home. Everyone's so anxious to get home and share it with everyone and really take the time to, you know, talk to family and friends about our Olympic experience and share it with them and be able to put the medal around their neck because it's just as meaningful to them as it is to me. So we're extremely excited to I'll get home, finally have a little bit of downtime, but also celebrate with, you know, the people that mean the most to all of us.
Well, take me back to that moment. I was watching it at 2:30 in the morning Eastern time. Take me back to the moment where you see Matty Rooney stop the shootout goal from the Canadian shooter and you guys win the gold medal. Take me back to that moment.
Oh, man. It was crazy. I knew she was going to save it, though. There was no doubt in my mind. You know, I'll rewind a little bit. But when after the third period going into overtime, well, quite honestly, after Mo tied the score up, I think everyone, you know, everyone in that moment knew, oh, my gosh, we're actually, like, we're going to do it. We're going to win this gold medal. And since then, there was no doubt at all. We went back into the locker room. It's pretty crazy because the moment, you know, you're in the locker room and you would think right before one of the biggest overtimes of all of our lives, you know, people would be kind of quiet thinking like, oh man, like maybe a little nervous, but it was the exact opposite. And that's when I knew deep down in my heart that, you know, that we're going to do it. We're going to do it. So overtime, you know, was awesome. I think that just really showed who our team was, puck possession wise, energy wise, positive attitude wise, everything just was lining up perfectly. And then when the shootout came, I think anyone on our team could have been put in that lineup and we would still win that gold medal. And the lineup that we have was incredible. And Maddie did a wonderful job in net per usual. She cracks me up because she was smiling the whole time. And that just proved that, you know, we were going to win that gold medal that night.
Can you do the move that Jocelyn Lamoureux made or used in that shootout? Because that was one of the best-looking goals I've ever seen. Like, is that a routine thing, or is that just freakish?
She is. I mean, both the twins are. They are freakishly good at that type of stuff. What makes them really special with moves like that is that they know goalie tendencies really well. They know how to be goalies. They know a lot about goaltending in general. So I think that's what makes those two really special. And I mean, that move that Joss did, I think some of us could do it to an extent, but that was literally perfection. So, you know, kudos to her. This whole past week, she's been asked about it. And, you know, she's very humble and, you know, our whole team's humble about the experience.
Amanda Pelkey, Montpelier native, UVM grad, and now Olympic champion with us here on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN at 101.3ESPN.com. And how about your performance in that gold medal game? Also, you drew the penalty that led to Team USA's first power play goal in the first period. Take me through that.
Yeah, I think you know, power play and PK-wise, that's always a goal of ours, is to have high percentages in those categories. Because I think special teams, you know, is a difference maker in a game sometimes. And, you know, I quite honestly didn't mean to make her upset or anything, but I was just back checking, making sure that I had her as a check and I didn't lose her out of sight. And she, you know, she got a little angry. So, yeah, so I think, you know, back to the whole power play thing and PK, I think our special teams did a really good job in high pressure situations, gold medal game, and they performed at their best.
The whole narrative of the Olympics around your team was Team USA trying to get over a heartbreaking loss 4 years ago in Sochi. You weren't part of that team. So how did you handle all that? Was it you felt the burden that the rest of your teammates felt, or you were like, hey, I wasn't there. I'm just focusing on this one and let's get it done. You didn't let it weigh you down.
Yeah. I mean, I would say quite honestly, the past, 4 to 8 years, even, just being around, you know, those women that have experienced both of those heartbreaking losses and, you know, it even makes me, like, even though we won this time, you know, it makes me emotional thinking about the heartbreak that they must have felt during those times. But what's very unique about our group and our veterans in general is that we're able to move on from that. And we have, you know, the younger players on the team that, you know, bring high energy for those players, and they would say the same about us. And I think, you know, just a team as a whole, we played in the moment, and, you know, these past 4 years leading up to the Olympic Games, we knew that we were going to have, you know, eventually the team that was going to be put together to win that gold medal.
I remember talking with Julie Foudy, who was a member of the 1999 Women's Soccer World Cup team, and she talked about the growth that youth soccer on the girls' side had experienced after they won that World Cup. And people have tried to equate your team to that team. Did you feel like, in a way, you were playing for the growth of the entire women's game? Did it feel that big?
100%, absolutely. And I think the media tour put the nail in the coffin on that one. It was the support that we had with people showing up to events that we were at, autographs, everything was like nothing like I've ever seen before in my life. Like you literally walk down the street and there's hundreds of people with their phone out wanting to take pictures, and little girls, that was the most special part to me, was anytime, you know, this young girl came up and her smile was just like ear to ear. And I remember, like, I would put the medal on her, and that was one of the coolest moments for me. I think all my teammates could say the same. But back to Julie Foudy and U.S. Soccer, I think that was a really unique experience for us. We got to see Julie a few times in Korea. And then during tour, we went to the U.S. soccer game at Red Bull Stadium. And that was probably one of the coolest events of our media tour. The second that we saw them, you know, Rapinoe came out, she gave us all hugs, and then the whole team, it was just down the line, hug for hug. And it just, you just felt that, it was just a really powerful moment, I think, for women's sports to be able to come together like that. And I think, you know, with the boycott and everything that U.S. soccer has done for women's sports and women in general, I think it was just came around full circle and in such a awesome fashion. It was such a powerful moment.
You mentioned the boycott. You're referring to the team threatening to sit out the World Championships back in 2017 over trying to get equal treatment to the men's national program, and you guys were able to achieve that. How much did being able to financially commit to hockey full-time, how much did that play into your guys' ultimate success? Because you were able to give 100% to the cause.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a huge part of it. Anytime that you can give 100% into something that you're doing, you know, raises your chances more for success. And, you know, our team, our group is very fortunate that, you know, and it wasn't just our team that fought for it. There was, you know, our whole player pool, girls that didn't make the final roster. Like those girls were a huge part of it in it too. And, you know, I just kudos to everyone in our program and, quite honestly, women's hockey in the U.S. for sticking with us to get what we deserve.
Amanda Pelkey, Montpelier native, UVM grad, and now Olympic champion with us here on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. In the gold medal match, the tension seemed very real between you and Team Canada, but I have heard that off the Olympic and championship stage, you guys actually have a pretty good relationship with Team Canada. How is your relationship with your biggest rival?
Yeah, I mean, we've gotten that question a lot this week, that's for sure. You know, a lot of our players, that especially who played in the Western part for NCAA, a lot of them played with each other, with Canadian players. Some of them have, you know, best friends in the team and whatnot. So I think, you know, on the ice too, there's a respect for them as well. I think, you know, you have two of the greatest teams in the world, and you know what each other has been through, and that's kind of a mutual understanding. But obviously the competition is extremely high. I can't say that after the Olympic game, seeing them around the village was a little awkward, but you know, that now it's just, you just got to move forward from that. And I think it's going to be extremely important for both teams, U.S. and Canada, to grow the game together. And I think we also have a mutual understanding and understand the power that both of our teams have. And if we come together in unity to keep women's hockey, you know, keep going through the roof, I think that's going to be really important moving forward.
Amanda, we'll get you out of here on two more quick questions. You mentioned having 4 days after competition to be still in South Korea. What else did you get to experience at the Olympic Games? What events did you get to go to? And what was it like being part of the opening ceremonies, the closing ceremonies, everything?
Yeah, so the whole Olympic experience, it was above and beyond anything that I would have imagined. There wasn't one little thing that was causing distractions or you know, there's nothing wrong with the whole Olympic experience, which, you know, in the past, some people may have been like, oh, housing, the food, everything was amazing. And I think for me, it was awesome because we got to see our family a lot. My family, their hotel was about a mile and a half away from my village. And outside the village, there was coffee shops, new restaurants, so it was just awesome to have that availability to walk outside the village, experience Korea a little bit. And we also had, you know, surprisingly had a good amount of downtime. You know, our staff made sure that we had the balance that we needed. So we were actually able to go to, I went to figure skating, which was amazing. And then our whole team got to go to the curling gold medal match, which was super cool because, you know, in the dining hall for Team USA, we had our own dining services. So we would see, you know, we were eating with the curlers, we were eating with the figure skaters, the speed skaters. So that experience was really cool to be at the Olympics and not only represent, you know, just the ice hockey team, but when you're there, you really do feel a unity of Team USA. And I think that's the coolest part about it. Opening ceremonies was, oh my gosh, it was amazing. I recorded the whole thing. I told myself I wasn't going to, you know, be on my phone, but everyone had the plan of just keep it recording, but make sure you soak it all in. And then unfortunately, right after opening ceremony, my phone broke.
Oh.
So I lost everything, which was unfortunate. But we have tons of photos in with our group sharing, so that'll be fine. And then closing ceremonies was just as amazing. It was sad to see the flame go out, but the whole experience was just incredible.
Amanda, we'll get you out of here on this one. We asked you about the parade in Montpelier tomorrow. Every time you've come on with us, you've been extremely complimentary of your Vermont roots and your time at UVM. Do you have a message for the people of Vermont or people who have supported you, not just through this year, not through the last 4 years, but as you've grown up too?
Yeah, I just want to, you know, I'll back up by saying, our coach said, play with heart and soul in the gold medal game. And then when you get that gold medal, it's all about sharing it with everyone back home. And, you know, he was exactly right. I think our whole team is extremely excited to get home, share it with everyone, take the time to really talk about the experience, pictures, you know, everything that they need. I'm going to be there to be able to share that experience with them. Because this dream has been their dream as well, and I really recognize that, and I can't wait to share it with all of them when I get home tomorrow.
Amanda Pelkey, Team USA, a gold medal winner, Olympic champion, a UVM product, a Montpelier product, always gracious with your time on our station. We appreciate it. Congratulations, everyone here. Happy for you, was following you, proud of you, and enjoy tomorrow.
Thanks, Brady. Thanks for having me.
Amanda Pelkey, love it. She's been on the station, what, three, four times now?
Yeah, you know, four times.
Very accommodating.
Four times in the last, you know, year and a half or so. And I remember the first time I spoke to her was January of 2017, and we continued just to follow her story and stay in touch as she went through trying out for the national team and being considered for the Olympic team and the potential boycott of the World Championships. Mm. And tomorrow, the parade is in Montpelier.
Very cool.
Down on parts of State Street, and she's a Montpelier High School grad, so very, very cool. And as you said, always gracious with her time, too. And she had multiple flights canceled.
Oh, wow.
And trying to get back to the Burlington area. So when she was talking to us, literally was in the car on the way back from a train to Boston.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad she made the time for us. Always good to hear from her. Brady, tell everybody where we are right now.
We're out at Idle Time Brewing Company in Stowe. This place is a lot of fun.
It's rocking. It is.
You've eaten more than you should have.
I know. Way too much.
We're just
going
to...
Part of the job.
We're just going to roll you back to the station in Colchester. But we've had a blast. The pretzels are great. The beer cheese dip is great. We've had...
The critters, whatever the critters are, those are good too.
They're cheese fritters.
I love those things.
Cheese fritters are great. We've had chicken
wings. I can eat 100 of those.
You've had like 7 or 8 beer samplers, so we are rocking and rolling here at Idle Time.
All right, what's coming up next?
We're going right to the 4-minute football fix. Should the Patriots make a move for Jadeveon Clowney? That's being talked about.
And I want to get to the Amendola story that we didn't get to earlier, so that's coming up next in the 4-minute football fix right here on 101.3 ESPN.
I miss football. You miss football. We all miss football. So let's talk some football. Training camp may be a ways away, but we'll help you through the wait. This is your four-minute football fix on the Huddle 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go!
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Brady, tell everybody where we are, and then it says we got on the top of our text line. Gentlemen, how about a physical address in Stowe? It's an awfully big village.
1859 Mountain Road in Stowe.
Right across where they make the Heady Topper. So what is it, the Alchemist?
That's across from the Alchemist Brewery.
Yes, there
hey,
you go.
And be careful up at home, apparently. The road's not looking so good at
home.
They said up near Costco, a road is closed up there.
I don't know. I don't know if it's by Costco or Route 7.
Somebody said Route 7 near Costco is closed.
That doesn't
Route
make sense.
Route 7 is Shelburne Road.
I don't understand.
Costco is not Shelburne Road. Where's Rich when we need
him? I know that. I know. Does it... And it continues around that way.
So now your wife is yelling at us through the headphones about geography.
Yeah, and now I feel bad for all the bad stuff I said about Sean Parker and Torrance Kosher and Amanda Tebow
and about Tom Mesner and Tyler Jankowski. Everyone.
Even a blind squirrel finds an acorn. So congratulations, guys. You called the big snowstorm. But anyway, 1859 Mountain Road in Stowe, about halfway up the mountain. So come on by. If you're coming up, it's on the right side, and you should check it out. We are having a lot of fun here. Real quick, they said there's an accident, and what is it? At Sunny Hollow Route 7, north of Exit 16, going real slow.
So if you're heading up towards St. Albans, then be careful. Be careful, everybody, no matter what. We are in rush hour now. I know a lot of people listening to us because of the time, everyone in their car, so drive slow. You'll still get there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, which one do you want to start with? Because I know we didn't get to the Amendola story either.
Let's start the four-minute football fix. Let's talk Amendola first.
All right.
Give us the music, Aaron.
Four-minute football fix. The four-minute football fix.
You can turn the music down. There you go, Aaron. So, Danny Amendola, we've known that he's going to have some suitors on the free agent market. And Albert Breer, the Monday morning quarterback, he has said expect the Kansas City Chiefs to possibly be in play for Amendola. Look, I understand why the Chiefs would want Amendola, because he was highly successful in the playoffs. They're going to play with a rookie quarterback next year, or a second-year quarterback with a first-year starter.
Did he play for the Rams?
He did.
Long time ago.
Played with the Rams and then the Patriots.
Yeah, okay.
So they're going to play with Patrick Mahomes at the quarterback position after getting rid of Alex Smith. I understand why they would want that security blanket, that veteran there for a young quarterback. But I don't know why, if I'm Amendola and I've got a chance to win a Super Bowl, why I'd want to go from Tom Brady to Patrick Mahomes.
Why do I get the feeling that the Patriots really don't want him back? When they really should want him back, because he is a fan favorite. He is a target of Tom Brady. He doesn't make a lot of money. He's taken the bargain basement hometown discount more so than anybody else really has business to do that. I'm sure the players' union are not happy about him. So, you know, all that added together, you know, you got to wonder what's going through his mind, except for the fact that maybe Kansas City will double his money or something, and maybe he feels like, hey, I've got to take the money this time around.
Look, if money and the chance to accumulate more and more receptions are a motivating factor for Amendola, then you would say, okay, it's logical that he would go anywhere else that's going to offer him more of a consistent role to catch, you know, 75, 80 balls rather than 60 balls. Or if money is going to be the motivating factor. But that hasn't been Amendola's M.O. He's already won a Super Bowl in New England, and he's still taking less money to come back. He's won two Super Bowls in New England and taking less money to come back. So I have to think that if he's playing next year, that he wants to be in Foxborough. But I don't understand the appeal of Kansas City. I know they're good, but they're going to be
a reduction. Why would you say that? What's that the appeal about? What exactly is the problem there? I don't understand. Why would there not be appeal of Kansas City when, I mean, they've had good teams. They've got some offensive weapons. They got a hell of a running back. Why not Kansas City? You know?
Well, you're going from Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, to Patrick Mahomes, a guy who...
Anything's going to be a downgrade after that.
Yeah, anything's going to be a downgrade, but do you really want to go and work with a guy who's a project quarterback, who's learning on the job? Now, I'm just throwing out examples, but if I'm Amendola and I'm leaving Tom Brady, don't I want to go to a Ben Roethlisberger or a Russell Wilson, someone who I know that I can trust to get me the football or at least put our team in a situation to be successful? And I don't have that in Mahomes.
Maybe they're going to go up against the Patriots if he goes to Pittsburgh, huh?
But he's going to be going up against the Patriots in Kansas City.
You know, yeah, but at least that's not much of a threat like Pittsburgh is. I mean, look how much crap they gave Harrison from going from...
And maybe Amendola, because he's been so loyal to the Patriots, maybe he would lean that bend, you know, lean towards that bend and be wary of that.
It's not like he's going to the Jets.
But if I'm leaving Tom Brady, I'm doing it for someone who I trust to get me the football and or put our team in the best situation to win. And I don't know that Patrick Mahomes is that.
Sometimes when you're breaking up with a 10, you can't find another 10 to date. You got to date a 7,
but
Brady.
Do you want to go...
Sometimes you got to do that.
Yeah, but at least if I know that the 7 is a guaranteed 7 as opposed to a possible... You know, 3, then, like, I'm not going to Cleveland. I'm not going to Kansas City.
And I don't think those are his choices. Kansas Maybe. City and Cleveland are not.
What about Houston with Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson, who we at least saw enough from that I think that he's further along than Patrick Mahomes?
A lot of also has to do with what kind of rapport he has with some of these offensive coordinators.
Oh, Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, so,
although I don't know that he would have been in New England when O'Brien was
How
there.
Much more money is he going to get leaving the Patriots than if he would have stayed on the Patriots? That's what I want
to
see.
Well, $3 to $5 million, I think, is the going rate for Amendola and the non-Patriots market.
And if the Patriots wanted to bring him back at what, $1.5 to $2 million?
Yeah, well, he's taking $1.5 or $1.3 last
year. Got to be up at $2 million now, doesn't he?
Zach in Bristol says, Arnie, Amendola to the Jets just to get to the Patriots.
Wow. He said for a slap in the face there. Wow. Yeah, you know, they're not going to be as bad as people make them out to be, but we learned our lesson this year about the Jets.
Question two in the 4-minute football fix. We saw this rumor out there yesterday. Mike Sando, ESPN, thinks the Patriots could put together a package to go after Jadeveon Clowney of the Houston Texans. Refresher on Clowney, the former number one pick in the draft. He's 25 years old, had nearly 10 sacks last year, had second in the NFL in tackles for loss, 2 interceptions, 2 forced fumbles. He's in the final year of his rookie contract.
Didn't we run him out of football when he had that horrible first year and he got injuries? And we're like, what, the biggest bust ever?
Well, they didn't like him in college coming out. I remember people thinking he didn't even want to play South Carolina.
I don't know. If you didn't watch him play, the only thing you have to judge him on was that one great hit he had. Because that's all they ever showed. Remember what?
Against Penn State,
Miami, whoever it was. He had one good tackle.
Or Michigan.
Michigan. He had one good hit that knocked the ball carrier, the receiver. Silly. And he made a off that one hit.
He's going to make $13.5 million this year. Look, this is another classic case of what your head tells you versus what your heart tells you. If I am the Patriots, I am not going to make a move for Jadeveon Clowney, provided I know he's guaranteed to sign a long-term extension with me. I'm not giving up draft picks.
Right.
I'm not giving up draft picks to go and get a guy who I'm not sure that he's going to be there long-term. Am I going to sacrifice more and more of the future just for a win-now move and getting Clowney? But on the other end of the spectrum, again, as we talked about in hour one, you are in the utmost sense of urgency here. You have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick for a limited amount of time remaining. You need to capitalize on that because it couldn't possibly be as good without them as it's been with them. So if you need to surround Brady and Belichick with as much talent as possible to try to win, part of me says, do it. Sell out the future to go and try to win now, because who cares? The fan base has to be understanding if the team falls off after Brady and Belichick go. I wouldn't do it because I think logical and I think far in advance. But if I'm thinking the urgency to win with Brady and Belichick is so real, I could see myself making a move like this. I could justify this.
I'm just trying to figure out how much a Patriots are going to spend on one person. I'll put you on the spot. Do you know how much the Bennett contract is for upcoming 2018, 2019 off the...
$6 million save.
$6 million is what the...
What the Pats save.
No. I'm talking
Michael
about
Bennett.
Michael Bennett from
it's Seattle. 3 years, $18 million. I don't remember what the number is up front.
So let's
first
say,
year.
No, so this upcoming year for Bennett for Philadelphia, they'll have to pay what, $6-7 million? Is that what it's going to take?
Yeah, I don't remember the breakdown off the top of my head. But it's $18 million total over the next 3 years.
So the Patriots were willing to pay him six or take over his contract at $6 or $7 million, $18 million total. That's very doable, to be honest with you. I thought you were going to tell me he was making a lot more than that.
Bennett's only making $1.6 million this year.
Wow, no wonder.
He's got a $5 million roster bonus, so he was a $6.6 million cap hit.
Yeah, roster bonus doesn't count. Yeah, that doesn't count against
So he's making $6 million next year and $7.5 million the year after.
Because I'm just trying to figure out why the Patriots were all in with him, but if backed off Sherman and maybe are going to back off Clowney. Well, now we know the answer now. It's all about the money. It's all about the contract. Though Clowney, like you said, last year of a contract, you want to give up draft picks for a guy that's going to hold your ransom for all the money in the
world. It's very difficult to give up draft picks for a guy who, one, I don't know if I'll be able to keep him, and two, if I do keep him, then how much is that going to cost me? And, oh, by the way, don't you want to re-sign Brandon Cooks? Don't you want to do that? Because he's
really
going to be a free agent at the same time.
Not really.
You don't?
No, I really don't. I'm sorry that you gave up so much for him, but I don't want to.
When this team has Danny Amendola either gone or aging, and Julian Edelman either gone or aging,
well,
I'm going to need Brandon Cooks because I can't replace five receivers.
Right. I know you can't. I'd have to start working on that now. I mean, they know they're going to keep him. I wouldn't keep him because I'm not paying the money for him for a guy that's disappeared about 8 out of the 16 games this year. Maybe even more than that, Brady. Maybe like 10 or 11.
Remember, he did have over 1,000 yards receiving.
Yeah, I don't know how. I'm going to double check that. I'm not so sure he did. I think somebody did some faulty math. I got to double check that. I'm not going to take anybody's word for that one. All right, Brady, tell everybody where we are right now.
Idletime Brewing Company in Stowe, 1859 Mountain Road in Stowe. Come on and hang out with us. We're here until 6:30, and if you're not going to come down tonight because the weather's bad, because you're too far away, put this on your to-do list. I've already told Jess we're coming here for dinner.
Yes.
She's actually in here now, and
yes,
I'm saying
she is.
We're staying after the show and getting dinner also.
What is, by the way, I don't want you to stay for the full hour. You know, you've been working hard, just half a show. What's coming up on Champlain Valley Game Night?
Well, on Champlain Valley Game Night, we're going to talk with Kurt Heelan, a pro basketball talk.
I love him.
We're going to talk about Kyrie Irving's knee. How troublesome, how worrisome are the comments that Danny Ainge made today?
All right, what's coming up next?
Daily spring training update. Aaron Judge done with the home run derby. And what's the latest on Drew Pomeranz's injured forearm?
All right, that's next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Phone lines are now open. Get ready to call in at 802-655-6672. This is The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. We are live at Idletime, having a blast here. It's in Stowe. If you ever wanted to stop on by, or you're coming tonight, or anytime, if you're in the area, this is the place to go. 1859 Mountain Road, halfway up the mountain here in Stowe. Great food, all kinds of great beers, Brady. Unbelievable. We've been chowing down, drinking down, everything. We've gotten all kinds of great stuff out here.
I usually don't drink on the job, but I made an exception.
You did
for
make
today.
An exception.
I
yes,
made
you
an
did.
Exception for today.
And when you make an exception, you don't mess around. That's for sure.
Well, someone's got to take Rich's place.
There's no doubt about that. All right, let's get to the spring training update. The spring training update.
I know. You're so mean.
I am. That's why nobody likes me.
That right there is why nobody likes
me. That's why nobody likes me. All right, what's going on in spring training?
Daily spring training update. Yankee slugger Aaron Judge says he will not participate in the home run derby coming up again this season if he's asked. Judge was lukewarm on the derby, said that he didn't want to answer whether or not the derby was responsible for his injured shoulder that ultimately he had to get surgery on this offseason. Look, we did this a big deal, little deal, no deal. I think it's less a big deal that Judge won't be in the derby than it is a big deal that Judge thinks he got hurt in the derby or that he might have actually got hurt in the derby.
Right. I know we want to have the best of the derby just like we do with the slam dunk contest and stuff like that. LeBron's never been in the slam dunk contest. You got to do it at least once. I hate to say that he's never going to be in it again. I mean, the guy is going to be in his second full year, right? So I feel bad that he's going to just say no. Maybe he'll change his mind later on in his career. But, I mean, he's a fan favorite. He's the face of baseball coming up next. I want to see him do that.
You keep saying that.
Well, that's what the Yankees say, that he's the face of baseball.
Do you really think Judge is the face of baseball?
You know, we asked that last year. We said, is he really? I asked that, I think, on my national show. Is he the face of baseball? We really couldn't come up with anybody else. People said, what about Harper? What about Trout? You mentioned Ohtani, but that's not the face of baseball. He is the face of baseball. Who else is the face of baseball?
Man, I see.
There's nobody else.
I know that I live in a more aware of the national baseball landscape than a lot of people because baseball is seen as a regional sport.
Right.
Trout, to me, is the face of baseball. Trout, to me, is the best player in baseball, so therefore he has to be the face of baseball. Now, I understand that Yankee fans, Red Sox fans, Northeast fans, East Coast fans, they're going to see it differently, and there probably are people out there that think that Judge is the face of baseball, but I can't wrap my head around that. Trout is the best player in baseball. And as much as I love Griffey, and I love Griffey, I think that Trout is the best player of my generation. He's the best player that I remember consistently being able to watch. When Griffey was great, 94 through 99, I was barely 10 years old. So when you talk about somebody who I remember, and I made an appointment viewing to go and watch him bat, Mike Trout is that guy for me. I don't know. I have a hard time agreeing with people who say he is not the face of baseball.
Yeah, but you know what, Trout? I mean, the upside on him, just think what his career could be if he keeps this off, what he'll be like in 5 years, 10 years. I mean, you forget about Hall of Fame. We might consider him like one of the best 10 players in the history of baseball if he keeps up this statistics. I'm not, you know, it's early, but he may reach one of those pinnacles. I mean, look at basketball. We said that LeBron James, one of the 10 best. Some people say one of the 5 best. So we're watching one of the best NBA players. We watch Michael, but we're watching one of the best NBA players of our time. Now you're saying we're watching maybe some of the best football players of our time. I don't know if you can say that about baseball with all the old-timers out there, except for maybe Judge.
Well, I think that Judge has to do it a lot more than
Well, yeah, I know that. But, I mean, really, in baseball, it's more the old-timers who are the best players. In basketball and football, it's the current players that are the best players.
But, see, the other thing you say that about Judge, I have a hard time believing Judge is going to be one of the best players ever, because Judge, to me, is maybe he becomes one of the best power hitters ever.
Right,
but I'm talking about pure players. Mike Trout does it all for me. He hits for power. He's going to hit 25 home runs. He hits for average. He's going to hit between 285 and 300. He can steal bases. Now, because of his contract, they're not going to let him steal 50 bases
like he's capable of.
But he'll steal between 18 and 25 bases. He's an elite Gold Glove level.
Yeah, but when you have
defender.
The home run record, that's the face of baseball.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, that's. But don't tell me that Aaron Judge could be one of the best players of all time.
If he breaks the home run record,
he's not a complete player then.
Why? But if he breaks the home run record?
Then he's a great power hitter. He would be a great power. Ken Griffey Jr. was.
What's his batting average? Ken Griffey Jr.'s lifetime batting average, Bonds' lifetime. Excuse me, I meant Bonds' lifetime batting average. What's his for having the home run record? My guess would be
298.
Get out of here.
Barry Bonds was an elite level hitter. He was far more than.
Wow,
just a power
I was going to guess like 270, and I thought that was a little too high. I never would have guessed 298.
Griffey was 284, but do you think about if he had never been, you know, if he had never been injured, we could do this. What would he have hit? Griffey,
wow, never would have guessed that.
Judge is going to have to hit in the 285 range to win some Gold Gloves for me to consider him a great all-around player.
Wow, I had no idea that Bonds was 298 lifetime. That is insane. I thought it was going to be a lot lower.
And then
all the home runs that he hits out there.
And then his you know, his on-base percentage.
Yeah, so that's
the
sick. That's crazy.
I mean, they once walked him with the bases loaded just to walk in a run.
Yeah, but they said he got... Do you think he benefited because of all that armor he wore on his left side or on the right side of his body?
Oh, definitely.
Because they stopped that. You can't do that anymore.
Definitely. I hate the massive armor.
I love that.
Because you would need it, because if you ever had it, you would just shatter.
I would show up like in one of those knight's armors, like back in the day, with one of those masks that fold down. Brady, what's going on with Drew Pomeranz? What's the latest on that?
Pomeranz, again, he had that mild left forearm strain. He is going to be able to resume throwing here shortly. Should not miss much time. Red Sox appear to have dodged some potential disaster here in a Pomeranz potential injury. Drew Pomeranz is a hard guy to get a read on. He has a little bit of, he seems to be overly precautionary. He took himself out of 3 starts last year, so I don't love that in all cases. He doesn't talk a lot, so you don't get any sense of his personality. But he went 17-6 last year. He struck out a bunch of hitters and really pitched well in a time when the Red Sox got nothing from David Price and a really down year from Rick Porcello. He is important to this team. I don't know that he can duplicate what he did a year ago, but he is hugely important to this team and their stability in that rotation. So this is good news all in all.
All right, can I start a rumor? Some bad news for Patriot running back free agent. What's his name? That we don't know if he's going to stay with the team.
I'm going to sit here.
I don't know. Well, give me his name.
Deion Lewis.
Deion Lewis. Because now there's a new running back on the market. And a damn good one.
And not so much.
Oh, I think so. I think so. And I think the Patriots should go after DeMarco Murray, who him and the Titans are going to cut ways. Didn't have a great year last year. 659 yards rushing. 3.6 yards an attempt. But he did have injuries. He wasn't explosive. But that's the guy I think that maybe the Patriots should go after it, something like that.
But even if the Patriots go and get DeMarco Murray, even if the Giants went and got DeMarco Murray.
Giants, that'd be a good one for DeMarco.
Which I've seen people say. And look, I'm fine. I'm more okay with it for the Giants than I am for the Patriots. I mean, he's still 30 years old. He's 30 years old. He's going to play next year at 30. He's got a lot of wear and tear on that body. you're still going to need the platoon system. You're still going to need multiple backs. DeMarco Murray is not carrying the ball 355 times.
No, he's not throwing, but he can certainly give you 65% of the carries.
So,
you know what I mean?
The Patriots are still going to need, they're still going to have James White. James White's on this roster. They may have Rex Burkhead. And then they go get DeMarco Murray. They're still going to have three running backs.
So you think he's more of a Giants guy, more of a guy to stopgap for the Giants?
Yeah, he's more of a Giants guy, but just say the Giants take Saquon Barkley. They could still get DeMarco Murray. They'd still have two running backs.
Well, that's fine too, because you know, you just like
you don't have if you have two running backs, you don't have one.
I would just say that you're not going to throw the rookie running back to the wolves, especially with that offensive line. You're going to work him in slowly. You're not going to say, "Here's the ball, young man," and try to run around that offensive line. That's not going to happen. But I saw DeMarco Murray open on the market. I don't think he's going to be open there very long, to be honest.
Well, free agency kicks off on March 14th. So that's when free agency, that's when teams can sign free agents that aren't their own.
You can 6 days from now.
Yep, you can retain your own free agents now. You can't sign outside free agents until Wednesday. So we'll be interested to see.
All right. Tell everybody where we are, what we've been eating, drinking like crazy.
Everything.
Yes,
simply
pretty much
put,
everything.
Idle Time Brewing Company in Stowe, 1859 Mountain Road in Stowe. Fun place to be. They've got a lot of things going on. They've got live music every Wednesday. They've got the fire pit going right now. In the summer, they've got the fire pit going. So it's not just a snow resort, not just a snow restaurant. They're brewing daily. They've got a canning soon. Great pub food, chicken wings. We've got everything here from Bavarian pretzels to cheese fritters, all of that. They've got a large patio. They've got lawn games in the summer. It's right next to the bike path. I mean, this is a really fun place in a really cool town that we don't get to anymore.
Wow, and the snow's still coming down like crazy up here. So down here. Picturesque, no doubt about that. Last story, Stanley, I got a good one. Has to do with beer. So we'll get to that coming up next. Right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, last story standing, fitting story here. Since we're at a brewery, why not do this one? Michael Nolan Powell, 44 years old of South Carolina. Michael Nolan Powell of South Carolina, 44 years old. He's a truck driver. Well, Michael got a little bit of an accident. Everybody's okay. Don't worry about it. Everybody is okay. But the truck that he was driving had a big spill. Spilled all over the Florida interstate right up there by the panhandle, 60,000 pounds of Busch beer. So 60,000 pounds of Busch beer, which prompted open containers, happy hour, and alcohol-involved accidents, puns on social media. I wonder how many of those beers were still good. What do you do with beers? Like can you give them away or something? Or run to the Florida panhandles and start picking them up or what?
I thought all of it spilled.
I don't know. Maybe some are in the cans. I got to tell you, when I was living in Colorado, and I was going to Southern Colorado,
USC,
I wore some UCLA sweats to the brewery at Coors, and the guy goes, "Man, those are some nice sweats. Why don't you give them to me, and we'll give you a couple of cases, like 10 cases of Tall Boys."
Were you 21 yet?
No. Drinking age, I think, was 18 at the time.
Oh, okay.
He goes, "We'll give you like 10 cases of Tall Boys." I go, I don't have any other clothes to wear. And my roommates go, "Take your damn clothes off. I'll give you a T-shirt. Get those damn Tall Boys in here." I start taking my sweats off so they give us free Tall Boys.
So, you know, we waited up until 5:59 before you disgusted me today.
Yes, how did I do that?
That's not really an image that I wanted to
You didn't want to think about that one.
No, and you know what? Your wife is in here, too. She didn't even want to think about that.
Oh,
so
she
that's
never,
how you
yeah,
know it was foul.
Every time I change my clothes, she closes her eyes.
Yeah.
So there you go. There. All right, who do we have to thank today? Because this has been a lot of fun
we
up here.
We got lots of people to thank here at Idle Time Brewing Company. The manager, Ava. We got Will, the brewmaster, who sat down with us as well. All of you people here at Idle Time Brewing Company, congratulations and thank you to you as well. We've had a blast. 1859 Mountain Road, Champlain Valley Game Night for another half hour, so still time to come and check us out.
All right, what's coming up on Champlain Valley Game Night?
Kurt Heelan, Pro Basketball Talk. He's going to talk about Kyrie Irving's knee injury, knee condition. We'll also get into the slowing, what is going to be a slow NFL free agent market, and a cool story on UVM forward Anthony Lamb.
Champlain Valley game night coming up next for Brady. I'm Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.